All right, guys, Seth and Tony again back with Southwest Ohio Full Court Press as we continue on with our local legend series. I think we're up to 9 or 10 now.
Yep.
Last episode we said 8 or 9. We're just rolling with it. We've got another really good interview for you guys today. Tony, we've got Justin Bibbs, CJ alum. He played at CJ for 2 years before transitioning to Montverde.
Yes, and I think a lot of people may not have heard of him because he was only at CJ for 2 years. But as you said, Seth went on to Montverde Academy, part of a team that won 2 national championships, or national championships you would call for high school, I guess. Ultimately found his way at Virginia Tech, had a good career at Virginia Tech, and then ultimately made it to the G League, as well as signed a 10-day contract with the LA Clippers last year. So he made it to the NBA level, and has been in the G League ever since. So, you know, we'll be very interested to get his perspective on going from a high school team to a prep powerhouse, as well as playing in the ACC and ultimately getting all the way to the NBA.
All right, guys. So we'll jump right in. All right, guys. So as we stated before, we've got Justin Bibbs with us. Justin was a former CJ basketball player for 2 years before moving on to national powerhouse Montverde Academy. And then continued moving on to VaTech, and ultimately has found some good success in the NBA G League, and even had a short little stint with the Clippers. So, Justin, thanks for being with us today, man.
Oh, man. Thank you for having me, man.
Yeah, of course. So we're doing this this whole series as part of what we're calling our Local Legend series. You know, guys who have started out in the Dayton area, but have ultimately made it to, you know, the upper echelons of their careers. So that brings us back to starting with local players. So you started your career, your basketball at the high school level at CJ for the first 2 years. So walk us through a little bit of that time at CJ.
Yeah, that time, I mean, it was a fun time. You know, just playing with your friends that you grew up with at CJ, it was fun. That's probably one thing I miss. But I mean, it was all good. You know, we could have had a little bit more success there, but you know, it was fun while I lasted it, for sure.
Yeah, in your time there, you got to play with guys like John Staley, and obviously getting coached by Joe Staley while you were there. And then getting to play against guys like Jaron Simmons at Alter, Frank Katrine at Fenwick. Talk a little bit about Coach Staley, just kind of how his coaching style, how that prepared you for moving on to Montverde, which we'll get to here shortly.
Yeah, I think just his defensive scheme helped me a lot. He kind of ingrained he kind of put in everybody's head that was playing. That's easy, how to play up defense and how to guard the ball, stuff like that. That kind of just translated through every part of my game as far as me playing defense on different levels I've been at. And, you know, a lot of people don't really have that type of defensive attitude, always being up defense and stuff like that. And, I mean, it's valued in the higher levels, and not everybody do that. So that's one part I really take away from CJ a lot, from Joe Staley also.
Yeah, if anyone knows how to teach defense, it's definitely Coach Staley.
Yeah, for sure. Being on that helpline defense, for sure, that's him.
Yeah.
That's
So then ultimately, as you continued on in high school, you made the decision to transition to Montverde Academy. Talk to us a little bit about that transition. You know, what brought about that change? And then we'll talk about the amazing stuff that happened at Mount Verde.
Right. Well, actually, you know, my dad, it's like we have a family friend, and the family friend connected to one of his friends that was an assistant coach at Montverde. His name was Ron Harris. So he was there for a year before I got there. And so we got in touch with him, with Coach Ron Harris. And he kind of just took off from there. We took like a little visit down there in the summertime after my sophomore season. I loved the campus, you know, it was Florida, so, you know, it was the sunny and stuff like that. It was actually at college. Did like a little workout for Mount Vernon. I was like, man, I'd be stupid not to go here to get better on and off the court, be with some family. That wasn't a problem for me. And it just, I couldn't reject the opportunity.
Yeah, so then ultimately, you know, you end up at Monteverde, and, you know, they're not, I mean, very well-known national powerhouse. You guys end up claiming back-to-back national championships, and then in your senior year going 28-0. Talk to us a little bit about the elevation in competition, you know, the change in the everyday routine. Walk us through some of that.
Absolutely. And so obviously, based off your success with both CJ and Monteverde, you were able to ultimately attend Virginia Tech. But before we dive into your time as a Hokie, talk a little bit about the recruiting process leading up to that decision, and ultimately what other schools were showing interest or had offered you before you ultimately chose to attend Virginia Tech. No, yeah, I mean, it's just kind of interesting to get that point of view, I mean, through a coach transition and staying there. So then you get to VaTech and, you know, freshman year, you actually start playing pretty early on for you know, for a kid coming into an ACC school. You know, you play in 29 out of 34, 33 games-ish. But you also started 20 of those. So you started over half the season. Talk to us a little bit about that first year and that jump from Monteverde into college ball.
Right. Well, first off, I mean, to be honest, my freshman year, we were so bad because everybody left because nobody was, you know, Buzz Williams, he's kind of like a hard ass, you know, like nobody's, everything's not fit for everybody, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So when I got there, it was almost like, I think it was, we played our walk-ons like 20 minutes a game because we had to. So when I got there, it was kind of no option for me. Like, I had to play. There was, you know what I mean? So I was kind of forced to play those big minutes. But if I wouldn't have got hurt, I had a concussion going into ACC play. But, yeah, man, he had, there was just, we were terrible, so I had to play 30 minutes a game or 20, however so minutes a game. But, I mean, yeah, he kind of put the keys in my hands early. I just kind of, I think I did all right with it. You know, still being last place, I think, but, you know, it was the first year, and his first year recruiting, so.
Definitely, and obviously at playing at Virginia Tech, you got the, some would say luxury, others would say unfortunately to have to face the powers like Duke and North Carolina and Louisville. Talk a little bit about, I mean, not a lot of people get the opportunity to play against players at that caliber. Talk a little bit about, you know, playing in the ACC and just getting the opportunity to face off against guys at Duke and UNC, Louisville, just the ACC in general.
Right, so when I committed to Virginia Tech, I knew, like, so they're in the ACC, you know, they're playing against North Carolina, the Dukes, and all that stuff, losing. And I was like, man, I want to play against those guys, because at first, you know, I had a chip on my shoulder because, you know, I wasn't really recruited from them. So I'm like, man, all right, let me just go ahead and be, try to beat them. And that's what we ended up doing at Virginia Tech. That's kind of like my goal. You know, I want to play against the best. Even, knowing that, you know, we were terrible, they had to be out there. You know, I still believe that we can take those teams down, and we did. So that was kind of my focus, going after Virginia Tech and taking on kind of like a hard task. But it was awesome playing against the Hall of Fame coaches, man. It was a dream come true for sure. Because I've seen them on TV every, you know, every Saturday or whatever they play, and it's just like, wow, they got to fix the.
You know, they have a scouting report on me, you know, so I thought that was just pretty cool, and just try to, you know, beat those guys. That's kind of my goal. Yeah, of course. So ultimately then, you know, after the first couple of seasons, you guys start rolling a little bit more as Buzz Williams starts really, you know, making his mark on the school. Talk about your last couple of years there, you know, by the end of your career, you're starting pretty much every game. You know, you're averaging double digits in points. You know, you're dropping, you know, a couple of assists a game, shooting almost 50% from the field and 40% from three. So just talk to us a little bit about the growth that you had while you were there, and kind of wrap up your time at Vautech.
Oh man, yeah, it was nice to see, you know, the wins start to show up, you know, our work that we put in, you know, starting to show by us getting the W's. But you know, as time went, you know, as we start, you know, getting better and better, we got more recruits start to come in, and so it kind of made me have to play a role on that team, and I think we were pretty talented. You know, nobody really wanted to play us, and we were just a hard-nosed group of guys that just want to play as hard as we can and get a dub. So, I mean, Buzz kind of instilled that into all of us. And unfortunately, both years, my junior year and my senior year, we went to the NCAA tournament, and we lost first round. That was something that hasn't been done in a long, long time. So I kind of get to, you know, have a, kind of get to brag on that part. But, you know, we kind of just turned the program around. I'm just happy to be a part of that.
Yeah, and shortly before that, I mean, during that same senior season, you guys, you know, you get a dub at home against North Carolina, who was ranked number 10 in the country. And then towards the end of the year, you get another win at home against Duke, who was number 5 at the time. And then you guys ultimately made it to the ACC championship game that year. You dropped to Notre Dame, but still had some good success. Just before we move on then from Vautech, just kind of wrap up your thoughts on playing for a coach like Buzz Williams, who's you know, is regarded as a very, very good collegiate coach.
last part again?
I just said, just kind of give us some of your last thoughts or lasting thoughts on playing for a coach like Buzz Williams, you know, who's regarded as a very, very good college coach.
Playing for him is just, all he did was just coach effort. So it doesn't matter what we did on the opposite end. It was just about playing hard. That's all he cared about, playing hard on defense. Make sure we down the court. Make sure we sprint to every position. Just be a hard-nosed group of guys. That's all he cared about. So once you get that down, it was kind of easy to play for him. You know, from the outside looking in, you might look crazy, jumping around, sweating, all that stuff. But inside the huddle, it was more like he was on our side. He believed us with anything we did on and off the court. He was a friend to us, even a father figure to others. So, he's one of the easier coaches to play for, just because he gave us freedom. At the same time, just all we have to do is just play hard to get that freedom. So,
yeah. Yeah, that's great stuff for sure. So, after you finished up your career at Virginia Tech, you obviously entered your name into the NBA draft. Went undrafted, but played summer league with the Celtics. Did pretty well in the games that you appeared. Ultimately, signing with the Maine Red Claws. Talk about that first year in the G League, and then ultimately after that first year, you know, you signed a 10-day contract with the Los Angeles Clippers. So talk about your time in the G League with Maine that first year, and then ultimately transitioning to time with the Clippers.
G League is just, that's tough. It's a tough road. It's not easy by any circumstance because there's a whole bunch of players, a whole bunch of great players, good players trying to get to, you know, that last roster spot or make a decision on you. So everybody's for one goal, so it just makes it tough. But I kind of just stick to my principle, you know, being a team player first, trying to get the win at all costs, you know. That kind of sticks out because everybody in the G League is kind of just going out for themselves. So it's definitely a grind, but I was real happy that my play getting awarded with two calls for the Clippers. But it was a roller coaster because it is a longer season, obviously, than college, but I ended up having to play point guard, which I haven't done in a long, long time. So played good at point guard, and that got me noticed. And then got two calls for the Clippers, and then ended up getting hurt on my second 10-day. And I don't know if that played a deciding factor or not, but ended up getting hurt. Couldn't play an actual NBA game, but just watch it. And that kind of sucked, but it's all in all, it was a good year. I couldn't complain. Couldn't complain at all. Mm-hmm.
So then it looks like, you know, then most recently you ended up back with the Maine Red Claws back in November here. And that's where you find yourself today on their roster, correct?
Yeah, correct. Ended up getting hurt again. I had a rough, this year was rough. Even though it was still good, it was still rough. Had a concussion, came back from concussion. They ended up getting a hard foul, hyperextended my knee, out for a long time.
Yeah.
It was, like I said, dealing with a roller coaster, and this year was a roller coaster again for me. So, I mean, it's a part of the game, but yeah. You know, I'm still.
Yeah. And then the last part of your career that I want to touch on was just your opportunity that you got to play on the U19 World Championship team for the USA. I didn't want to gloss over that before we got through with most of the material. Just talk a little bit about that time. I mean, that had to be a crazy journey, but it ultimately ended up with a team gold in the finals against Croatia.
Right. Man, that was just, this is one of those things that I never thought I would be a part of. Yeah, I guess after my freshman year at Virginia Tech, ended up getting a invitation for USA. I was like, I thought it was fake or whatever. But ended up going for tryout. And then the aim for, I knew the goal for the coaches and people looking at the players for tryouts where they were going young. Because on that U19 team, it was just a whole bunch of young players. I think I was the oldest player on the team. It was me and LJ Peake, who went to Georgetown. Everybody else was already in high school. That was like the Josh Jackson, Jason Tatum, Harry Giles. So I knew that they were going young. So me to be, to make on that team, I was like, oh, wow, I must have did something right. But that whole experience was really good for me, just to get outside of America. So I think it was in Greece.
Yep.
Played in Greece, played against the other top players for U19 in other countries. That was always something I thought it was just pretty cool. You know? And I was just honored to be a part of that team and win a gold medal.
No, and that's just a cool experience that not everybody can say they've had.
Yeah, for sure. I kind of forget, a lot of times, but when I come back home, the medal is hanging up in my room. I'm like, oh, wow, I'm part of this team. It's a cool future. I forget that I have.
Yeah. So then as we start to wrap up here then, so that brings us to present day. So kind of give us an idea of what you're up to right now. And kind of what things look like here over the next couple of months before we head into next season.
Right. Yeah, hopefully, first of all, just let this pandemic kind of die down, you know.
Yeah.
I know a lot of restrictions is coming up, but make sure everything is safe for me to, you know, get back in gym with the trainer and just all in all, just be safe. But other than that, I'm just be in shape and just be ready for my next opportunity. You know, just me and my family, my agent, have a good talk of where to play this next season and just trying to put my best foot forward and ultimately just trying to get back to the NBA. You know, that's the goal. You know, I want to be back in the U.S. or be in the U.S. playing. So, my goal is to play the NBA. And I feel like I can still get there and just try to prepare for that this summer for sure. Even though, you know, this pandemic is going on, just still prepare best I can.
Absolutely. And then the last thing, Justin, we wanted to talk about was, you know, obviously you've been lucky enough to play at a high school like CJ, which is, you know, one of the better programs locally. You got to play for Monteverde Academy and then, again, get to play Division I basketball. You know, there's obviously kids out there some that are listening to this podcast that obviously have that goal to follow in your footsteps or, you know, take the same path that you did. My question is, what advice would you give to prospects as they go through the recruiting process? Specifically, you know, what do they need to know for adjusting to the Division I level mentally and physically?
You're working hard. You're not working hard enough. Just keep working hard. There's somebody out there in the world that's working harder. Just try to be your best no matter what. Because I didn't really have a lot of hype behind my name. So I say this, you know, try to be steady and work hard no matter what. Even if you have no hype behind your name or a lot of hype behind your name, it doesn't matter. And you have that opportunity to play with that person that's, you know, ranked number one or ranked number two, whatever. So make sure when you get out on the court, you just prepare for that moment. let your play talk for you. You don't have to talk for yourself. Just let your play talk and just continue to work, because you will get noticed when you perform. And that's pretty much it, man. Yeah.
No, well, that, I mean, great advice. So we want to thank you, man, for taking the time out to talk to us, share your story, share your journey, share your advice. And, you know, we wish all the best to you in what's next. And I know we will certainly be among those who will be tuning in to hopefully see that line come across that you've been called up and get that moment in the NBA. So best of luck to you, and thanks again. Of course. All right, guys. So that was our interview with Justin Bibbs. Again, want to thank him for his time. You know, that he took out to speak with us, share his story, share his journey, and yet another unique story, Tony.
Yeah, absolutely. He was definitely the first one that we've had with our interview series that was lucky enough to play at the international level with the Team USA. You know, it's just amazing as we interview more and more of these guys, hearing their journeys, hearing their stories, hearing how their ceilings, how high they've gotten, you know, at the different levels. And, you know, Justin's another example of, you know, a player that maybe wasn't the most well-known coming out of high school and in college. But, I mean, he's, I think, only the second one that we've had in our interview series that even had an NBA, you know, looks. I know Travis Trice was the other one that we interviewed. So, you know, to make it to that level by itself is incredible. So hats off to Justin for his accomplishments. And again, echoing your comments, thanking him again for taking the time to talk with us a little bit about some high school basketball and his career leading up.
Yeah. And yeah, certainly a couple of the things that I took away from Justin's story was to just always be prepared. That was one of the things he mentioned at the end of our interview with some of his advice was, you know, even if you don't have the hype or the accolades or, you know, may not be that well known, just always be prepared. Always keep working because you'll play you'll play in front of that individual that's going to get you that break. And then the second thing that he said that I really want to hone in on was his statement of, if you think you're working hard, you're not working hard enough. Mm-hmm. And that there's someone out there who's working harder than you are. I think a lot of times, you know, kids think that, you know, yeah, they're doing X, Y, and Z. Well, there's someone else who's doing X, Y, and Z, and then starting the alphabet back over and going double A, double B, double C on their list. You know, it's there is no stop to the grind, to the work that it takes to reach these levels. And that's coming from guys who have been there and done that.
Yeah, absolutely. And to that note, I want to go a little step further for prospects listening. And keep in mind, you know, if you're in that boat where you're thinking, well, I've done enough, I'm working, I'm doing this and that, you know, I see a lot of guys that want to post their stuff, they post their workouts on Twitter. And, you know, just because you post it and you're putting it out there doesn't mean that you're working harder. If anything, I think you're working a little less if you're using some of that energy to make a video. Then maybe that's, you know, side note. But I definitely, you know, agree.
Well, there is a certain place and time for doing that. I mean, it is a way to get your name out there, you know, to maybe try to get someone to get a look. So not completely knocking that.
No, not at all. But I mean, in my experience, I've seen a lot of guys, usually the guys that post the most of it are not, you know, working as hard as they probably should.
So you're saying let their game speak for itself.
Yes. Let your game do the talking instead of your phone or your video camera. But, you know, at the end of the day, you know, I definitely agree with what you just said there, Seth, you know, and obviously great, great young man when Justin Bibbs getting the opportunity to pick his brain and again, just kind of hear about his journey. And, you know, as we are actually getting close to wrapping up our local legend series, you know, it's been great to hear all these different players. And obviously, you know, Justin Bibbs is an example of, you know, the hard work. If you put in that hard work, you know, getting to see it pay off in the long run.
Yeah, no, absolutely. So, again, hats off to Justin on everything that he's accomplished thus far, and best of luck to him on his continued career. Like I said, hopefully we'll see his name scrolling across that ESPN feed someday as a call-up. So that'll pretty much wrap up this episode. Like Tony said, we've got a few more in the chamber. As well as, you know, still looking for other guys that, you know, if you've got a connection to a guy that you'd like to see as part of this series, let us know. You know, we'll roll with this. I think a lot of people like it thus far. I know we certainly do. So we'll keep them coming. All right, guys, till next time.
See you guys.
See ya.